I say good evening to all of you. It's really good to see you. It's good to see the brethren. It's good to see them gather at the house of the Lord. It's good to see the little ones and the families. It's good to see. And it's good to see because it's of the Lord. We hope we know that's why we met here. That's why we have what we have here today, is because of everything that He has done for us. This is all a gift of the Lord from above that He's given to His people here, that we have. What a blessing we have to be able to come together this evening and worship Him and lift up our voices and praise Him in spirit and in truth. And that overwhelms me that He would allow me to experience that. Because we know that of ourselves we got nothing. We got nothing. We were dead in trespasses and in sins, and we were lost in the world away from Him and had no desire and no knowledge of Him whatsoever. The Bible tells us, before I get to there, I pray that the Lord's in this. Y'all pray for me. Because as much as I've known you and as much as y'all know me, I'm still fearful every time I come before the Lord and the Lord's people, because I want to be honorable and glory to Him. Because that's where it all goes. That's where it all belongs. Amen. We have nothing of our own. We give nothing that we didn't already receive. And I think sometimes if we've been brought up in this, and I have been brought up in this, I've heard these doctrines of grace my whole life. I've heard them preached over and over and over again. But brethren, we ought not be asleep in that grace. We ought not take that grace for granted. We ought not just say, well, grace has got me and I can kind of come and go as I please. That's not how we ought to be with this great and wondrous gift that we have been given and has been bestowed upon us. What peace we have today. What peace we experience right now. This very moment. Because of what we accepted? No. But because of what was done and what was worked and what was finished and what was given and bestowed upon us that we didn't deserve. I talk about that because not everyone hears that. See, not everyone. We come in and we hear it and we know it and we rejoice in it, as we should. But we're a little remnant. We're a little remnant. There's God's people out here today that are hearing. They're not doctrines of grace. They're doctrines of some made up thing to glorify man. But that's what they are. And there's a lot of little children out here today that aren't living in that peace. They're scared to death. And I happen to thank the Lord, I was able to attend two funerals this weekend. And what I heard today, I heard that them old doctrines of grace, that salvation by grace and grace alone, and the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross, and what He's done for us, what He's done for His chosen people that He chose in covenant with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. As told us in Ephesians 1 and in other places that maybe I'll look at. But the one I heard yesterday, the one I was at yesterday, he started off real well. But then he said, at some point, that all you have to do is believe and accept. And if you don't believe and you don't accept, then be careful going out the door today. Be careful going home. I'm telling you, I got friends of mine. I don't know if y'all got friends, but I think everybody's got somebody that they know outside of here that isn't a primitive Baptist. that may not know them doctrines of grace, that may not know what the truth says. I'm telling you, I looked right down the aisle, I looked at them too. I said, that ain't true. I said, that ain't true. And I got a scripture on my mind tonight, if the Lord will help me for a little bit. Because, and it's a recent scripture, and I don't mean to re-preach anything, but you can't re-preach anything. This is the Bible, see? This is the Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God. This is what we, this is our life. This is how we teach. This is how we eat. This is how, as a little child of God, we receive our nutrition. Romans 10. Says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And you can see that word saved in the Bible time and time and time again. And what a lot of these so-called, I'm going to mention what they are, whatever, a lot of these so-called religions or denominations or what they're teaching out there today, they like to take the scriptures and they like to put the blinders on one scripture and look at one scripture and one scripture alone and build it off of that. And I'm telling you, the Bible, you don't do that with this Word of God. Because where it is in the beginning is where it is in the end. And anybody that tells you that the Word contradicts itself is wrong. The Word does not contradict itself. The man that's interpreting the Word contradicts itself. That's who contradicts it. It's man's poor interpretation or lack thereof. We are to study the Scriptures and show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. This is the Word of truth. There is nothing in this Bible that's wrong. And when you look at a scripture here and you isolate it one way and you can take it and do whatever you want to, I'm going to tell you, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And I'll tell you that salvation that he's talking about there is not an eternal salvation, because we already know how that's been done. He's already mentioned that to us in the chapters beforehand. You can read right along in 10 and just say what you want to, but you got to do something with 8 and 9. And if you look at Romans 8, it says, and we know, verse 28, you familiar with this? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to what? His purpose. And what is that all? I don't believe. I'm not an absolute. I'm telling you tonight that I don't believe God works in all things. I don't think he causes everything to happen. I know he's not the author of sin, nor is he the author of confusion. He doesn't cause bad things to happen. He doesn't do that. But I tell you what he can do. He can get involved whenever he needs to. He is in the heavens and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Amen. And when he needs to act, he does. And if he's going to act, he will. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he is involved in everything, but if he needs to be, he can and will and does and has. And he has a chosen people that he has promised to never leave nor forsake. And when he works in your life, he's working to the good. He is righteous in everything that he does. He is always right. And if evil come upon us, then maybe it comes upon us in the form of judgment and his providential hand of care being removed from our lives as we walk in disobedience. That's letting the world have us. That ain't God causing that. That's my disobedience causing that. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Get that. He predestinated, he called. That is an effectual call. That is an effectual, that is taking that old heart that you have, that's you being dead and being made alive again. Amen. That's John 3. I'm going to flip there because I like reading this. This is good for us to do. John 3. You're familiar with this too. But John 3 says, verily, verily, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Get that now. That's Nicodemus looking at this from a natural mindset. But what does Jesus say? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A man cannot born himself again. There's only one way. You got to be born of the Spirit and of water. You got to be made alive and cleansed. And the only thing that can do that is the Lord. And that's pretty plain, isn't it? I mean, I think even read on. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You ever tried to catch the wind? You ever tried to stop it? You ever tried to hold on to it? You ever tried to keep up with the breeze? You can't do it. You don't know nothing about it. You can't even see it. You can only see the effects of it. That's not hard to understand if the Lord's blessed our eyes to see it. So that tells me right there that how do you accept something in order to be alive? That's like that little baby back there having to cry in order to get life. Does that make any sense to anybody? No. If I told you that to a room full of scholars, they'd go, that's crazy. Well, why on this hand do we look at it and wonder why we got to cry out before we get some life? The reason we can't cry out is because we've already been given life. And who is the life giver? The Lord. And only Him. I'm telling you, we have a desire in our hearts today to follow Him and walk after Him and even seek, know anything about Him. It's because He's already worked the work of grace in us. Believing alone, what does it say? If you go over here to John 6, I really like this. He had came to Capernaum. They found him on the other side of the sea. When they came to him and said, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? He looked down here and then it goes, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And what was the answer? This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. In other words, you believe on him whom he has sent because that's the work of God. That's what it says. This is the work of God. That's from the mouth of Jesus. That's from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That if you believe today, that is the work of God. I'd say amen to that. I'd like to tell that other fellow too. That, and I don't mean it in a bad way, because let's go back over to Romans 10. You realize this gospel is the salvation that we're talking about here, and that's for this time world. What we're talking about today, the finished work of Christ and everything that He's done for us, I believe that that is peace and joy to people when they hear it and understand it. But here we go, Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Macedonia Baptist Church in Flint Hill is full tonight. It's full, brother. They have a zeal. They have a zeal. Sometimes I wish we had that zeal. But we can have a zeal and have it be in the wrong direction. We can have all kinds of zeal for all kinds of the wrong things. And I'm telling you tonight, but we should have a zeal for our Lord and Savior tonight. The house should be full. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but the house should be full. Why? Because what has the Lord done for us? How many riches has He bestowed upon us in His grace and in His mercy? I got my pockets full. I got more than I can tell you about tonight. I got more than I got time to talk about, Brother Daddy. And you do too. And you do too. If you start to look at it and you go, all good and perfect thing, all good and perfect gifts. All good gifts come from the Father above. You start looking at the good gifts in your life and think about all the things that you're blessed you even have them to worry about. What a blessing I have to worry about you. But you know what? I don't have to worry too hard because we got a Lord and Savior whose hands you are in. And so am I. And that's what we got to rely on tonight, and that's the gospel that we preach. Not some Jesus who's still on the cross. Right. I'm telling you what that does to our Lord and Savior. When we say we need to believe and accept in order for Him to do something, that tells me He didn't do the work. That tells me He did part the work. That's not what the Bible says. He bowed His head and said, "It is finished." And He commended His spirit into the hands of the Father, whom He trusted with a perfect trust. And He was raised from the dead and glorified. And so shall we be. Not by anything. I'm telling you, I looked out at creation driving over the mountains this evening. You couldn't put a, there ain't enough paint. You ain't enough paint in the world. Ain't a big enough palette for man to even attempt to create the sky that was there and the color pattern that was in it. I want you to think about something. We turn on that TV. We like to get in front of that tube. We like to sit down and we want to call an entertainment. We want to entertain ourselves. And we get to watching the show and the show will come on, even if it's Andy Griffith. And the show will come on, he'd be like, "Oh, I've seen that one before." I'm going to tell you what, you look outside and watch the sky, God gives you a new show every day. Ain't never a repeat. You never look at one sunset and said, "Oh, that looks just like the other one I seen." No, not if you're seeing Him. No. You watch Him clouds. You watch Him work. Who do you think designs those beautiful things that people pay a whole lot of money to get their picture took in front of? The God in heaven did it with the work of His hands. I hope we understand that we don't serve a feeble God today. We serve the Creator of the universe who set it in order. That's the God we serve, who had a perfect plan. Not a perfect plan, a perfect purpose. God don't make plans. God purposes and fulfills and completes. Because He is righteous and He is just and He is gracious and merciful to us. You think an all-powerful God like that's going to leave that up to me and you? You think He's going to send His Son to endure an eternity of hell on a cross and have the flesh ripped from His body to leave that up to old me and you? I don't. He knew what I would do. He knew what I was. I was dead in trespasses and in sins and gone away from here. But He loved me. And somewhere along the line, and I couldn't tell you exactly when it was in my life, but I knew God was real. I've had different moments of time from the time that I was a little bitty boy to my times overseas, to my, I feel like, you know, if you think the children of Israel did bad, I'm going to tell you what old Jimmy, they ain't got nothing on old Jimmy when it comes to his disobedience and in his deliverance and in his disobedience and in his deliverance. Lord, help me walk better. I believe He's helping me. I know He's helped me. I know it's only by His grace and mercy. Don't ever tell God what you're never going to do. I'm going to tell you that right now. You may say, "I'm not going." You'll end up in the belly of a whale. And you end up in the belly of a whale and it'll be your salvation. It'll save you from death. It's an uncomfortable place to be in the belly of a whale. We was talking about that the other day. Daddy said, "I bet it stinks in there." I'm going to tell you it does. We got a great deliverer. We got a great God. Let's not ever think that he doesn't need us to make Him great. He is great. It says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Now, what is that? To me, you could say establish and acceptance are the same thing. Lord, I accept you? Absolutely not. The only reason I can say, Lord, I accept you is because the Lord's already accepted me. And I need to hear the gospel preached so I can understand where I'm really at on this thing. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, we're not supposed to accept. What are we supposed to do? Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's an understanding that the Lord has already finished the work. The Lord Jesus Christ has already, the victory is won. It has been, our warfare is accomplished. Comfort ye, my people. Now guess who that leaves no room to glory? Man. No room for man. No room for the preacher. No room for the gospel. You got to be saved first. You got to be made alive. That's, and it's only done through the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only way that's done. Does that make sense to y'all? Do y'all believe that today? Because if you do, the next time you're going to end up going to a lot of funerals. And it may not be old school Baptist funerals. And it may be you, little brother or sister, to help your friend and say, guess what? Let me tell you the truth of the matter. Let me tell you what the gospel says. Let me tell you what the truth is. I'm not saying you're supposed to go just, but if we're asked, if we're told, if you see someone, I believe we should share this gospel truth, amen. Especially with ones that we know are showing fruit, amen. And bear signs of God's grace in their life. Amen. We're supposed to comfort one another. Amen. How do we comfort one another? Not by telling, hey, you're going to be all right. You're all right. No, you're not all right. I'm not all right. We're not all right. But Jesus is. Amen. He's better than all right. He's perfect. Yes. He's perfect. Jesus has done all things well. It says, for what? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's over. It's done. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You do this, you live. There's nothing left for us to do, brethren, but give him all the praise, honor, and glory, and show him the love. And how do we show him that we love him? By keeping his commandments. And walking as he walked. And following him. Being a follower of Christ. Picking up our cross. And following Jesus. How do we do that? We do that by our faith. What's our faith? Our faith is a gift. The faith is a gift. We get there. It says, but the righteousness, which is what? Of faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Meaning, I don't have to go up there and get him. I don't have to take the trip up there. I don't have to go all the way down to the bottom of the sea to find him. Why? Because he came to us. He came to us and he did the work. He's right here tonight, I believe. I feel his spirit. I felt his spirit in the song service. I felt his spirit in the prayer. I felt his spirit when I look across the congregation and I see you lifted up, and you're not lifted up in your own singing. You ain't lifted up because it sounds like a concert in here. We're quite the ragtag bunch, ain't we? Oh, well, how beautiful we are in the sight of the Lord when we lift up our voice in praise and honor and glory and adoration to his holy name. You're beloved. You understand that? That's a wonderful thing. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now this is the verse they like. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm telling you, that is not eternal salvation. That is not. Because we've already been told how that works. But the reason we confess is because the work that's already been done in our heart. If you've already been touched in the heart, you've already been made alive, you've already been born again, and your confession is the faith and deliverance that you've already experienced. You got a new mouth. You got a new song. I want to turn over to the Old Testament. They've been saying it for a while back there too. Maybe that's why the Lord told Nicodemus to marvel not. If you didn't, why didn't you know these things? Go to the book of Ezekiel. Hopefully I can find it. Oh me. I bet I didn't find it. No, I was looking for something. But I don't think I'm gonna find it, but that's all right. That's all right. Essentially, what it says is the same thing. We get a new heart. We remove the old hard and stony heart, and he puts a new heart in us. That's the spiritual birth. I really want to drive that point home. I think hopefully I'll got that by now. I'm gonna go back to Romans 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I tell you this, I didn't. Let's look at Acts 16. And we talk about our order here. God has got to work on your heart before you can move and make an action. And you see that in Acts 16 with a little sister named Lydia. And a certain woman, 16, verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You realize the order of operations there? The heart had to be worked on first before she could hear the words of the Apostle Paul. That's that in action. That's what that is. Back to Romans 10. I had my finger in it and then got out of it. For scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. When we call upon him as God's little children, that's not that, again, we already have life. And when we can call upon him, he hears our prayer and he answers us. And we're daily bestowed with his riches. That's what I was talking about earlier. We've had so many riches. We've been given so much grace and so much mercy. But again, this is the gospel call. This is not that eternal call has already happened. This is the blessing of the gospel call, that we hear the salvation from this law, the bondage of the law. It says, and if it wasn't, these verses right here sure do sum it up, that it's not eternal. Because how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Boy, we took the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky, and we really cut a whole lot out of them, didn't we? If we're saying the only ones that's going to be saved is the only ones that hear the preaching of the gospel, they need a preacher in order to be saved, there's going to be a lot of people ain't getting it done. I'm going to tell you what, brethren, rest easy, because the Lord is already taken care of. And when you hear somebody tell you that, you know the truth. Believe that. Rest in that. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what this gospel is. This isn't a gospel of fear. This isn't a gospel of maybes. This isn't a gospel of possibilities. This is a gospel of peace and of love and a love for his people and a promise to those people. I'm talking about a sure foundation, something that's already been accomplished. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. Now, their warfare has been accomplished. I don't know if I got that all the way right, but you look it up, Isaiah 41. We can rest tonight in the Lord's finished work, brethren. That's what I want to say. And we should share that news to people when they need it to be shared with or if they ask us about it. I certainly want to talk to my friends some more about it. I want to ask them how they feel. And I want to talk to them because I know they love the Lord. How do I know they love the Lord? Because they pray. They call out to the Lord. What does that tell me? That tells me just like that little baby cries back there. He's alive. He's alive. That's good to know, isn't it? There's peace in that, isn't it? There's comfort in that, isn't it? And it didn't come from me. And it didn't come from any other preacher. It didn't come from any act of anything that you did. It came from the pure Father in heaven and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, our Savior. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, to him be all the praise and honor and glory. God bless you. Amen.